Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Tommy Lou Gowerd.
Start Dart.
I love Tommy.
No biggie.
Yeah, dudes, dogs, and damage.
I believe in positive Tommy.
No, I've been working nights.
They call me Tommy the Rationalizer.
We all know Tommy Lou Gowerd is a generational talent.
It's After Hours with Tommy Lou Gowerd on The Fan.
Say it, honey.
Let's go, Tommy Lugauer, Lugie. A little off on the drumming there, Connor. You know, when you don't have a show for a couple of days, I was a little off on the drum there. Even as I was doing it midway through, I'm like, I think I did the drum a little early there. You know, I got Lugie. There you go. Take two. It always works. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. There are multiple times in a baseball season where you step back and you say, did we just experience this team's worst loss of the year? You take a step back and you say, did we just experience this team's worst series of the year? And I think in this instance, as we are wrapping up June, this four-game sweep at the hands of the Red Sox to the Yankees, and in the way that it ended, this is the worst series of the year for the Yankees and the worst loss of the year for the Yankees. And baseball is that funny game where, because it's played every day, momentum and the way you're feeling about your team and about your situation can change for a positive or a negative quite quickly. If we're sitting here and the clock strikes midnight and it's Monday, June 29th, and the Yankees had pulled that game out on Sunday night, if they had won a game that they were being no-hit into the eighth inning, and by all people, Sonny Gray, and I understand Yankee fans, they see Sonny Gray and they don't like him and from a baseball perspective, and then they just are mad about Brian Cashman for not believing in him. But for all people, Sonny Gray, to be the guy that's no-hitting the Yankees, and the team is three outs away after the no-hitters broke up and they get out of the eighth, the Red Sox did. The Yankees are three outs away from a brutal weekend. Brutal. Brutal series, brutal weekend. And look, you never want to lose this type of series to anybody, but it makes it worse when it's up in Boston. And the Red Sox, I think, had won 13 home games all year. All year. They're not good. They fired their manager. Oh, by the way, more on that manager coming up in a little bit. The Red Sox stink. And yet, there the Yankees were on the doorstep of getting swept. But something happened. And I think it had a little bit to do with, obviously, Chapman being tired. It was the third time he was used in this series. He had thrown, I think, 20-plus pitches the night before. Hot night. You could see he was sweating profusely. And he looked, you know, a little bit off. You know, couldn't find the strike zone early on. And then the Yankees get a break. Abreu in the outfield. Terrible throw back into the... And he's a Gold Glover, great fielder, and he had another bad one in the extra innings and almost cost the Red Sox the game. But Abreu just completely misses where he needs to throw the ball, which is second base, because the runner going to third, Caballero, means absolutely nothing. It's a two-run lead. It opened the door for the Yankees, because now you have Volpe on third, and you have Paul Goldschmidt coming to the plate, and I don't care if it's Sandy Koufax. I don't care what lefty you want to... Randy Johnson. Doesn't matter what lefty you want to throw at me. Paul Goldschmidt's getting a hit off them. I mean, he's as good as it gets against lefties. He's Babe Ruth. He's Barry Bonds. He's Aaron Judge. He's Otani. He's anybody you want to mention against lefties. He's that good. And Goldschmidt didn't hit the ball over the fence, but he was able to make contact. He put the ball in a position where the runner from third not only scored, but obviously Goldschmidt was safe as well. And that led to the Yankees getting another opportunity to win the game in the top of the 10th. And as I was sitting there watching this game, I thought to myself, and this is as the Yankees are getting no hit, I could just tell the conversation that was surrounding the game. Because when it comes to baseball, especially baseball, you know, football, it's once a week. It can be super unpredictable. Basketball, yeah, it's every day, but not really. And there aren't series. You might play it back-to-back against the same team, but there's no series in the regular season of basketball. But baseball, when there's obviously series, sometimes you could just have that narrative that's starting to surround the game and a series. And I tend to go the other way when I start hearing things. Meaning, everything was trending towards the Yankees are going to get no hit. And by all people, Sonny Gray, a familiar face, somebody that Yankee fans can't stand the sight of. You're going to get swept here in Boston to the hated Red Sox. The Yankees are going to go quietly into the night. They can't hit. And I just felt all along, and you could see Gray was tiring and slowing down. I didn't think he'd pitch the no-hitter. And I felt like the Yankees get a hit. Or even a base runner. Because one base runner, Gray, was coming out of the game. I was like, if the Yankees could just get somebody on base, they're going to win this game. That's what I was thinking to myself. Because everything is trending towards the Yankees are going to lose, they're going to get no hit. And baseball just doesn't always go that way. Especially when you consider the Yankees are a superior, I know they didn't show it this weekend, but they are a superior team to the Red Sox. They're all in likelihood not going to lose four games in a row here. They're not going to get swept in this series. So even though it looked like all hope was lost and they were going to go quietly into the night and they weren't going to get a hit, I felt all along that as long as the Yankees got a base runner and they got Gray out of the game, because it was still 2-0. It wasn't like it was 8-0. If it was 8-0 and Gray was pitching a no-hitter, yeah, you could start to call it a wrap. But not a 2-0. And not with a tired bullpen because Chapman had pitched so much in the series. So I felt like if the Yankees could get a base runner, they would win the game. And that's exactly what should have happened. How the Yankees ended up losing the game is almost mind-boggling. I mean, it was a roller coaster ride of emotions. But had they won the game, you'd be sitting here after midnight Monday morning going, oh, you know what? The first few acts of the movie sucked, but the ending was awesome. The ending was awesome. We're getting no hit. We come back. We battle back against Chapman, another guy with no love lost Yankee fans towards. We win the game in extras. And now we, with the quick turnaround, can take care of a bad Tigers team. And yeah, we lost the first three, but we managed to not get swept. And we can go to work. And it was a great victory. Except that didn't happen. And it's worse. It makes it worse. And I think not only for fans, but for the team to battle your way back and then to lose. You want to call it a gut punch? I'll call it the worst loss of the season. I'll call it the worst series loss of the season.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, all of this is small picture. Big picture, Yankees are the best team in the American League. I don't care what the standings say. I don't care that the Rays have woken up a little bit here. I don't care that the Yankees are falling backwards. I don't care if this is the June swoon just at the back end of June. The Yankees have the best team in the American League. And from where I'm sitting, they're going to the World Series. Now, that's not to take anything away from the loss or the weekend, but that's big picture. Now, little picture here, small picture. Awful weekend. The offense stunk. You weren't facing lights out starting pitching from the Red Sox. So for the Yankees, not and Ben Rice is going through it right now and certainly can't do it at Fenway Park. That's for sure. I don't know what the deal is there, but his struggles in Boston are certainly something worth noting. But when you climb the ladder back and you battle back and you take the lead and in extra innings, and the Yankees have been bad in extra innings. Are they 1-4 now? For some reason, they can't figure out the extra innings puzzle. But when you take a 2-run lead going into the bottom, let's just call it 10th of extra innings or 11th, whatever extra innings you're in. But if you can have a 2-run lead, that's usually good. You know, obviously you want to score a run in the top. If you don't, you're basically screwed. You score 1 run, you're on pins and needles. You score 2 runs or more, but in this case 2 runs, you feel pretty good about yourselves. You feel pretty good about yourselves. Now, you didn't have Bednar, and look, you could argue why use Bednar in a non-save situation. I think that's a fair. It's hindsight. It's a little bit of Monday morning quarterbacking, but I did think of that. Now, Cruz has been good, but Bednar's been lights out since the Subway Series. Lights out. But to battle back and then to lose the way the Yankees did, it makes it worse. It makes it worse. And look, Aaron Boone said all the right things after the game, which Aaron Boone has a habit of doing. We'll read you some of the quotes. We'll play a little bit of the audio later because he had one money quote that's going to get a lot of play over the next day or so. It might even get some play for the next weeks or so. Aaron Boone is good for, because he normally, and I say this with love, he normally, not that we know each other a little bit, but not really. Boone often feels like he's reading off a teleprompter, but every once in a while, he'll give you a good one. A little line that you can put up on the, not bulletin board for another team, but just hang in the Yankee clubhouse or post on Twitter to get 3 million views on it. And I think last night, Aaron gave you one of those, and he's good for those 4 or 5 a year. Now, we'll get to Jazz Chisholm, who I have defended, but tonight I can't defend him. That's coming up in a little bit. We'll get to Austin Wells coming up in a little bit, a guy that you can't defend. And I've been very critical of him all year, and it's just at what point does it become, you know, where the Yankees, their top priority is getting a catcher at the deadline. But it's one of those scenarios where you almost rather get no hit. You almost rather go quietly into the night. You almost rather lose that game in regulation, so to speak, instead of, because I thought it was a wrap. When it went to the 10th inning, I thought it was over. And the reason I thought that is because all along I felt like if the Yankees got a, like I detailed a few minutes ago, I felt like if the Yankees broke through on Gray, meaning if they got another base runner and he had to come out of the game and the Red Sox had to go to their bullpen, and in particular Chapman, I thought the Yankees would get to him. It's only a 2-run lead. You don't want to get swept. They're the more desperate, even though the Red Sox, as far as their record, they should want to win every single game the rest of the year. But the Yankees are desperately trying to scrape together a win here so they don't get swept in 4 straight games against the Red Sox, or anybody for that matter. And they're the better team. The better team shouldn't lose 4 in a row to a far inferior team. So the odds of baseball were in the Yankees' favor. That's why when they tied the game up and then took the lead in the 10th, I thought it was a wrap. I thought it was over. And yet somehow, some way, that wasn't the case. So it was that extra kick to the Goyun, so to speak, for the fans and really for the players. And that's why tomorrow night is one of those, hey, look, you dust yourselves off. You try to mentally get back to where you need to be. It helps that you're facing the Tigers, and I don't care who the Tigers throw at you. And I understand they have some good pitchers. I got to double check the who's on the mound. But obviously, you have Valdez, you have Skubal. So the Tigers can throw arms at you that are a little bit scary. And the Yankees are not hitting right now, but the offense for the Tigers is downright just abysmal, and that's why their record is what it is. It's Casey Mize, who has a great ERA, but he's 2-5. And that probably has to do a lot with the fact that Detroit doesn't score any runs. But the way the Yankees are hitting right now, they need to wake up, and maybe some home cooking will do them some good. But I thought it was the worst loss of the year on Sunday night. I thought it was the worst series of the year. And it made matters worse that they battled back and then ultimately lost. And you give the Yankees credit for thriving, let alone surviving, without Aaron Judge. But this is the type of weekend where you miss Judge, where you're not scoring runs, where you get shut down by decent pitching. Nothing, you know, you're not facing Paul Skeens or Mizorowski or Skubal. You're not facing elite starting pitching. Yet, bad defense. Gerrit Cole not being sharp again. Not hitting. And then when you, and this is what happens when you're struggling, no doubt. And we'll see if it snowballs, although Aaron Boone seems to think it won't. And I'll buy that, by the way. When you're losing, you're scuffling a little bit. Sometimes even when you battle back, you end up losing that game. Much to my surprise and shock. Even though that sometimes can be the laws of baseball when you're going through it a little bit. I just felt like with the Yankees, this, I think 99.9% I thought they were winning that game. That was in the eighth inning when they broke up the no-hitter. That was in the ninth inning, and that was in the tenth inning. Like, I just didn't waver on that. So I didn't think they were going to get swept in a four-game series against a worse team. And look, the best chance the Red Sox had tonight was to have a no-hitter, really. They only scored two runs. So they were hanging on for dear life for Sonny Gray pitching the gem that he was pitching. And I felt like when you got through that line of defense, the Yankees did, that they would be in good shape. But ultimately, that wasn't the case. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get to Jazz Chisholm coming up in a little bit. Not only getting ejected from the game, but I guess apparently he didn't speak to the media afterwards. We'll talk about Austin Wells and his struggles. We'll talk about the struggles of everybody trying to find the Yankee game once it started. And the whole fiasco that took place with NBC. And you know, Larry David was calling everybody. You know, your Aunt Rose was calling everybody. Uncle Louie was calling everybody. Nobody knew where the game was. In all fairness, they'll call you all the time, but in all fairness to all of them, NBC's got to do a little better job there. I'm sure they were handcuffed a little bit with the Travelers Championship, but they got to do a better job. We'll expand upon that or expand upon that coming up in just a little bit. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Loogie in the Late Night. We got you for five here, so four and a half more to go. A big Lugowski going all the way till 5 a.m. 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. Tommy Lugauer, Loogie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
1222 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Loogie. It is After Hours here on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call for a Big Lugowski, which is a five-hour overnight or after hours in this case, or both. Four and a half more to go till 5 a.m. So we'll take your calls at 888-808-1019. We will get into the Mets coming up in just a little bit as I woke up to the news on Friday that Carlos Mendoza would no longer be the manager of the Mets. So we'll get into what the Mets could and should do next at their managerial position, because David Stearns made it pretty clear on Friday that Andy Green is not going to be the long-term answer at manager. So we'll dissect that. We'll talk about the long-term solution at manager. We'll talk about Steve Cohen, who, in his words, or at least his words that he typed out on his phone or on his computer screen, will meet the media coming up. We'll get into the David Stearns media call from Friday. So a lot of things Mets coming up tonight. We'll do a very heavy Mets show throughout. But we are starting with the Yankees because it was a rough loss. It was a rough weekend. I think it was the worst loss of the year. I thought it was the worst series of the year. Now, that's all small picture. I mean, big picture, the Yankees are still the best team in the American League. I still think they're going to go to the World Series until I see somebody step up and be a serious contender for them in the American League. But so far, nobody has really shown me that they could go toe-to-toe with the Yankees in a series and take them out. Now, last year you had Toronto in years past. You've had Houston, you know, Red Sox. This year, I'm not buying Seattle yet. I'm definitely not buying Cleveland. I think the White Sox are a little early here, a little ahead of schedule. Tampa could be tough if they have home field because the Trop can be a house of horrors for the Yankees. And the Rays do things that can give the Yankees some trouble and put the ball in play, speed, you know, make the Yankees defend. So that small ball, so to speak, can be a bugaboo for the Yankees. But I think Tampa has to win the division and have home field over the Yankees for them to have any shot of knocking them off in a series. And as we sit right now, and it's been a roller coaster, you know, going into Memorial Day weekend, the Yankees are headed towards being about 8 games back in the loss column. And then all of a sudden, the Yankees, after beating the Rays on that Sunday, the Aaron Judge walk-off, if you remember, on Sunday, Memorial Day weekend, the Yankees just went off and running and took off and just... It looked like they were going to run and hide in the division, and Tampa was going the complete opposite direction. And now, all of a sudden, the last 10 games, the Yankees are 3-7, the Rays are 7-3. And now, as we sit here on Monday, June 29th, the Yankees are 2 back in the loss column, which I was never a big loss column guy, but in the recent years, I've gotten more into the loss column stuff. So even though the Yankees are technically 1 game back, they're 2 games back in the loss column, and they don't, as of now, have the tiebreaker over the Rays. So in theory, they're really like 3 games back in the loss column, but still plenty of time to go this year. But I do think it's important for the Yankees to ultimately win the division. Let's go to Sean in Old Bridge here on The Fan. What's going on, Sean?
What's going on, Luke? How was your weekend?
It was really good. How was yours, Sean?
Well, it was not too bad. Despite hearing about the Yankees' loss throughout the series, it was, I agree, it was a disaster. It was a mess. Honestly, today, I know today was like more of like a pitcher's duel, like not much hitting, mostly more like defense and all that. But hearing that they like lost it in extra innings, that's kind of like really like a stab and like a
gut punch.
Yeah, gut punch.
It's one of those where you go from thinking you might get no hit and get swept in this series to where you battle back, you get a base runner against Sonny Gray, you break up the no-hitter, you are able to score 2 runs off of Chapman, aided by Abreu's horrible throw into the infield, and then Abreu again in the 10th inning gives you another opportunity to take advantage of. The Yankees do that. They go into the bottom of the 10th, which you would think a commanding lead, and Cruz was unable to hold it. And now it's one of those situations where a brutal loss and a bad series got even worse by the fact that the Yankees battled back and then ultimately lost the game.
Yeah, that was like the really one thing I did. I was kind of like worried about, and now it kind of disappointed me. And not to mention hearing that Chisholm got himself ejected for, I don't know what the heck happened exactly, but it was like
he wanted to check over at third base to see if he swung, and then it was kind of funny how NBC had the camera there on the umpire, so you could see Jazz mouth the word that in all likelihood got him thrown out of the game, which I thought was a funny visual. I'm sure parents out there probably would prefer their little kids not seeing him mouth that word, but let's assume kids are probably asleep at that point. Yeah, listen, when you have a depleted bench, if you're Jazz Chisholm, you can't get rung up in that situation. You just, even if you think you're in the right, you have to, you want to call it selfish, you want to call it not being, you know, aware of your surroundings, whatever the case may be. If you're Jazz Chisholm, you have to stay in that game. The Yankees are just not in a position right now where they could afford to lose anybody out of their lineup, you know, in the middle of a game due to an ejection.
Yeah, I agree. And we're up to the All-Star break. And now at that point, like, we're in the halfway point, too.
Yeah.
You gotta now, like, put your big boy pants on and then start to play ball. And then also defense, not to pitch well, hit well, and then just play your best ball throughout day in and day out.
Yeah, look, it was not the Yankees' best showing this weekend. It's hard to point to anything that they did right, except for maybe late in this game on Sunday night, you know, forcing the issue. You know, Caballero stealing that base off Chapman, where he was able to get a look at the Chapman and tipping his pitches, and he was able to send those signs to the batters, which I thought was helpful. And Caballero, whenever he gets on base, he creates a lot of havoc for the other team, and he was able to do that in that inning. But outside of that, I mean, the offense wasn't there. Cole wasn't very good. The defense was bad all weekend. It was just, it was one of those weekends that you want to, as a team, flush down the toilet and you want to get back to work, which that is the one good thing. If the Yankees had a day off, it would be sitting there kind of stewing, but they get to go right back, you know, whatever, less than 24 hours, they'll be back on a baseball diamond taking on a Tiger team that's not very good either, and that should give the Yankees an opportunity to get this out of their mind and bounce back. But they got to be better than they were over the last four games.
Yes, I totally agree. And then you mentioned something about, like, I think there was something before, like, mentioning getting some, like, trades or something that's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
I think that might have to happen, honestly. I mean, I'm not crazy about, like, getting all the getting rid of most of the players, but, like, there's some, like, there has to be a time where one player is, like, I don't know, you kind of have to let him go, even though you got to treat him like kid gloves, but sometimes you gotta let them go.
Yeah, you gotta know when you gotta know, Sean, at what point a player is either going through a slump or they're just done. Maybe just in a specific location. And I think with Austin Wells, that's the case. That he's just fried with the. I mean, he's batting 157 with four homers and 10 RBIs. It's almost July. I mean, and we've been talking about this for months, how bad he's been. And he hasn't broke out yet. And the Yankees will be patient for a few more weeks. But as soon as the deadline gets here in late July, I fully expect the Yankees to make a move at catcher. I expect them to add a bunch of relievers. I think those are the two top priorities. That's why, Sean, when I was starting to hear about the Skubal stuff, I was like, wait a second. The Yankees have strong starting pitching. Now, Skubal's awesome, but I'm not trading a bunch of players for Skubal. Number one, I can get him in the offseason, but more importantly, my strength is my starting rotation. I have other areas of need that I would rather see Brian Cashman address than add more to your strength, especially once you get Fried back, which is like a trade. And I know Cole's been struggling a little bit lately, but you're going to have Schlittler, you're going to have Fried, and you're going to have Cole. Right there, you are head and shoulders better than your competition as far as starting pitching, at least in the American League.
Yeah, that is. Do you know any, like, what are their, like, you have any idea, like, who could be decent candidates, like, for, like, if they do, like, make a trade for, like, maybe trade away Wells or some of the relievers?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about the relief, who I like at catcher is Hunter Goodman, but I don't think the Rockies are going to be in any type of hurry to get rid of him. But if you can get your hands on him, I mean, he's a guy that hit 31 homers last year. He's got 25 this year. But he's young. He's in his mid-20s, and the Rockies, who are getting better. I mean, they're still not good, but they're getting better. He would certainly be somebody that would really fit the bill for the Yankees. But I just would be surprised if Colorado is... I mean, you're getting a big-time right-handed hitting catcher who's literally on pace for 50 home runs right now. Now, I don't know if he'll get there, but he's on pace for it. My gut is he'll fall short, but still, if he hits 40 home runs as a catcher, we talked about Cal Raleigh last year. Now, he got, what, to 60? But yeah, 40 from a catcher is incredible. And I get Coors Field, but Yankee Stadium's a hitter's park as well. Relievers, I got to do a little bit of a deeper dive, kind of see. And that's the other part of this too, Sean, and all you out there listening. It's hard to identify, and I know you think, well, this team's out of it, and sure, maybe you could circle a couple, but all it takes is, look, the Red Sox, if they go on a hot streak here, they might be buyers, they might not be sellers in a couple of weeks. So the landscape of that will become a little bit more clear in the next half a month or so, by the time we get to the All-Star break. That should be the kind of benchmark of, all right, in all likelihood, this team's going to sell. In all likelihood, this team is going to buy. Or in all likelihood, this team might just stay put, kind of hedge their bets, so to speak. Let's go to Jackson in Queens here on After Hours. What's up, Jackson?
Love you!
What do you hear? What do you say? What's going on, Jackson?
All right.
How's it going?
My first point is, first of all, if you are starting a restaurant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's say your restaurant was called the Yankees.
Okay.
And you could hire a chef. Would you hire Aaron Boone to be your chef at your restaurant?
You know what I would hire him for?
That is no.
No, but you know what I would, you know what I would hire him for? Front of the house.
Front of the house, right?
Yeah.
That would be,
front of the house. Go to the table, schmooze. That's where I think Aaron...
The manager of the team.
Yeah.
He cannot be making the recipes. He cannot be organized. That's not what he does.
But I also think he works with other chefs.
Yeah, and he could, and that, but who are the other chefs? Nobody knows the other chefs.
Well, they're there. I mean, a lot of people speculate it's Cashman, but I do think there are other chefs. Now, ultimately.
And that's the problem is Cashman's not a chef either. Cashman shouldn't be a chef either.
I mean, the Yankees are, they're good every year. I know they don't win championships as much as they used to, but they are good.
No. Lugie, you're not a Yankee fan. This is terrible watching the Yankees every year. I cannot.
You think it's terrible watching the Yankees every year get to October?
I cannot stand it. I'm going crazy watching the Yankees every year lose it with Aaron Boone making these.
I understand the fact that you want change because it's been a long time, and I think we agree that Aaron Boone is better front of the house than he is chef. But I think you're being a little too critical of a guy that routinely wins 90-plus games and get to October.
I don't dislike him personally. I just don't think he could really do the job. And let's say he wins a championship. Mm-hmm. Then what does he do? Does he get the job for the next 10 years automatically?
Yes. Yeah, probably. He probably has it anyway. I would think winning a championship. But you win a championship, so what do you care? If the Yankees win a championship, then what do you care if Aaron Boone is here for the next 10 years?
Because there could be... There is a better person for the job. That's my problem. There is a better manager out there.
But that could be true of a million different scenarios. But my point is, if you win a championship, I think that you would be comfortable keeping him around for a couple more years. If there's nothing else, the trade-off of, hey, five more years. I don't think there's any Yankee fan, except maybe you, that wouldn't sign on the dotted line right now. All right, we get a championship, but then we have to run it with 10 years with Boone.
He lost us four championships the last 10 years, so we get one championship this year, but we could have won five championships in the last 10 years. So what good is that? Like, you know, it's not really that impressive to me.
I don't know if you would have won every single championship. I understand that Aaron Boone
with a better manager, we could have won a lot of championships.
Perhaps, but Aaron Boone definitely has his demons that he has to exercise come October. There's absolutely no doubt about that. I think you're selling him a little short in terms of his success. Now, it sounds like you think anybody can manage the Yankees to 90-something wins and an October spot year in and year out. Is that fair to say? And then come October, that's really where you show your managing chops.
I would say that a decent manager could get this team over 100 wins easily. I think this is a 100-win team with a good manager.
This year you're banged up. I think the job that Aaron Boone has done this year, he's done a good job. He still has to do it in October.
How many times has Aaron Boone gotten 100 wins in a season?
Right, but you don't get a trophy for 100 wins.
But we don't get a trophy for not getting 100 wins either. It's not like
but all you want to do is win the division. That's all that matters. I mean, if you win it with 94.
But Aaron Boone hasn't won 100 games, and he hasn't won a trophy. So why is he still here? What is he doing? I don't get what this guy does. I really don't understand what his job is.
Yeah, but you
his job just to show up every day to smile, to chew bubble gum, and blow bubbles in the camera.
Which he does well, by the way. He always gets a good bubble going. No, I think the reason he's here is, number one, he does succeed in the regular season. He does get the team to October. And he handles the media well. He handles the players well. And he's won 100 games twice. But again, I don't care. For me, I don't care if a manager wins 100 games or 90 games. I care about what he does in October.
Wasn't that the year that we lost to the Reds? No, we lost to the...
Well, it just goes to show you that winning 100 games doesn't matter. What matters is what he does in October. I think we're arguing about something in the regular season that doesn't really matter. What we do agree on, Jackson, is that Aaron Boone is not good enough in October. That we definitely agree on.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're saying. He's not good enough in October.
Correct. That's all that matters.
Why is he here? Now, though, that's the problem. We're gonna have October, and then this whole thing is gonna happen again. And then, what are we gonna say next year when there's a lockout? We're gonna wait 2 years. Get rid of him now. Get rid of him now.
They're not gonna do that, Jackson. They're not gonna do that. You know, I've been doing this show since January, and Aaron Boone has kind of not been in the crosshairs here. Now, there's a couple of callers, as we know, that don't like Aaron Boone. A couple of regulars that don't want to see him around. But I feel like tonight might be that first night that we get the fire Aaron Boone calls. And I say this slightly tongue-in-cheek. And I understand you had a rough weekend, so I'm not trying to pile on. But the Yankee seasons feel like a Disney ride sometimes. Meaning, if I've gone on, which, by the way, this is one of my favorite rides at Disney, I like it more at land than world. And that's Pirates of the Caribbean. It's a long ride, but if you've gone on it enough, you kind of know the ride by heart. And I feel like with the Yankees, their season almost takes the same twists and turns. And we have reached that point of the ride where it's June, the team is struggling, and everybody wants to get rid of Aaron Boone. And you have every right to call up and say that. Here's the bottom line, though. They're not getting rid of him. They're certainly not getting rid of him when they're having the season they're having right now. And they were just in first place a couple days ago. And I don't see them get... The only time I felt like Aaron Boone had an opportunity, or the only time I thought there was an opportunity for Aaron Boone to truly, like the Yankees were probably very close to firing him, would have been if they lost to the Red Sox last year in the wild card round. That could have been the time. But now you're talking about World Series a couple years ago, divisional round last year. I think they're going back to the World Series, and you're hung up on winning 100 games. I think that's just an arbitrary number. I'd be more worried about division titles and whatever gets you to October if you don't win a division. But it's really about October. And that's where we can all come to that same sort of understanding. And that is Aaron Boone, when it gets to the postseason, he has to be better. But the Yankees didn't lose this weekend because of Aaron Boone, really. I mean, they sloppy defense, Jazz getting ejected when the bench is depleted, which was not being smart on Jazz's part. The team's not hitting. It's the first time I feel like they've missed Aaron Judge. Gerrit Cole's had a couple of rough outings now. You'd love to see Rodon throw up some zeros and match Sonny Gray, but sometimes that's not what you're going to get from Carlos Rodon, although the defense was bad again. And that's really what it was. The only thing I can maybe say about Aaron Boone is why'd you go to Bednar in the ninth inning? And but that's what you do with your closer when you're down. You're down 2-0, top nine, you're going to get him some work. And Cruz has been good, so you would think he would slam the door in the 10th, but that didn't happen. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's after hours. Lugan the late night here on The Fan. Robbie is in Phoenix. What's going on, Robbie?
Listen, I agree with that call. Aaron Boone must be fired and fired by tomorrow morning. I don't want to wait to October. He needs to be fired now. As I said, he ruined my night because I'm going to tell you why. My father-in-law was here from Japan.
Yes.
All he kept talking about was an hour and a half how stupid Aaron Boone is.
Now, does this cut into the... Because your wife, your lovely wife, Robbie, only allocates you, what, 20 minutes a day to talk about how...
We were in a bar.
Got it. So this doesn't count towards the 20 minutes, is what you're saying.
No, this doesn't count. Got it. No. And he used to be an engineer. He went into great thought of how... Just how awful the Aaron Boone is. If you didn't know baseball... After an hour of talking with my father-in-law, You would probably say, wow, he is awful. He ruined my night. Please fire this manager.
Well, Robbie, not only did he ruin your night, but he's basically ruined the last decade for you, because what you have over every caller to this radio station, Robbie, is you were the first person to call up WFAN. Not the last, certainly not the last, but you were the first ever to call up and say Aaron Boone needs to be fired. Now, for some, it took a year. Some, it took 2 years, maybe 3 years. For you, it took three games. But the bottom line is, you sniffed it out before anybody else did. And here we are all these late years later. And, Robbie, they still haven't heard your calls. Now, I've tried emailing Brian Cashman on your behalf. He hasn't gotten back to me as far as the Aaron Boone situation. I could try again here to see if they would fire him by Monday morning. I wouldn't hold my breath on that. But let me ask you this. Would you rather have a Sharpie or Aaron Boone managing the Yankees?
Oh, a Sharpie. Right. A Sharpie would have got a split this weekend.
Would you rather have a roll of toilet paper or Aaron Boone managing the Yankees?
Oh, toilet paper. Toilet paper. Yeah. Absolutely.
Toilet paper, yeah. So you feel like the toilet paper would have gotten the Yankees at least a split this weekend?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Look, he is the worst manager in my lifetime, and he'll be the worst for many generations to come. This is an embarrassment to the Yankee organization. He has to get fired. It's embarrassing. He's clueless. He's unconsciously incompetent. He doesn't even know how terrible that he is. At least Mickey Callaway knew that he was awful.
So you're saying Aaron Boone lacks self-awareness?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would you rather have a plastic cup or Aaron Boone manage the Yankees?
Oh, plastic cup.
Plastic cup, yeah. I would imagine the plastic cup would have gotten at least a split in Beantown.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that.
Yeah, we admit he's terrible now.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, first of all, when does your father-in-law go back? Is he staying around a little bit longer with you guys, or this was the end of the trip?
Yes, he finally fell asleep.
Well, you had him golfing all day, didn't you? Don't you pay for his round of golf so he's out of your hair?
Yes, I did. I had him golfing, and then we went out to eat to watch the game, and that's when it went downhill.
And it was just you and him, or your wife was along with you guys?
No, just him and I.
And then, I say this perfect. Obviously, it wasn't perfect for you guys, but it was if you're just watching Robbie and his father-in-law, this TV series, and that is the fact that both of you are not big fans of Aaron Boone, and the night that you guys are out at a bar is the night where Aaron Boone's team loses four straight to Boston. And then after the game, Aaron Boone says that his team is freaking good.
Oh, he lost his mind that when he heard that.
Yeah.
Because the bar had the Yes Network.
Oh, your father-in-law heard Aaron Boone after the game doing the pro about, you know, how about this one? How did your father-in-law feel about this one? Aaron Boone, I'm not letting this losing streak snowball. Quote, that's what we do, baby. You've got to love this stuff. You got to eat this stuff up. It's a sickness. That's what the grind is.
Oh, he lost his mind. He says, I can't believe they have such a stupid manager. That's what he said. I had to hear that for an hour and a half.
So ruin your night. So all your plans, because your plan with your father-in-law. Yeah. Well, bartenders that's kind of part of their gig, though, is to kind of hear out the people. But you had this all mapped out. You're going to have your father-in-law golf on your dime. He was going to be out of your hair. You figure you go for a little nice dinner here. Yankees win a game. But instead, Aaron Boone not only manages his team to another loss, but then after the game, he's saying things like this that bother your father-in-law, and then it's 90 minutes of Aaron Boone doesn't know what he's doing and is an idiot.
Right, right.
Robbie, I'm sorry that it had to go that way. Robbie's a great caller here. Great caller. And Robbie, really, I don't think we have a prize for him, but we should, because what Robbie in Phoenix did was so extraordinary. So many years ago, he was the first person ever to call WFAN and say Aaron Boone needs to be fired. The first. Think about how many, including two callers ago, Jackson, who called us, who wants Boone fired by Monday morning. Same thing with Robbie. And Monday morning basically is 6 hours from now. Robbie was the first person to call this radio station and say Aaron Boone needs to be fired. And it didn't take 1 year. It didn't take a brutal October loss. It didn't take 5 years or, hey, enough of Aaron Boone. It's run its course. It didn't take that long for Robbie. No, for Robbie in Phoenix, it took three games. But you know what? At the time, I don't know who Robbie called, and I don't want to necessarily put this on the host, but I would imagine the host, unless he had a good rapport with Robbie and maybe thought Robbie was half joking, but I would imagine the host was like, Robbie, what are you talking about? It's three games in. You're crazy. Crazy like a fox, because Robbie ended up being the first of many to call this radio station and say that Aaron Boone needs to be fired. And here we are all these years later, and Robbie's still fighting that fight. He's still fighting that fight. I don't see Aaron Boone. I mean, I guess I have to say this because of the calls we just took of back-to-back. Aaron Boone is not getting fired. Not today. He's not getting fired, I don't think, at the end of the year. I believe the Yankees are going to the World Series. And then from there, they could certainly take their chances, barring catastrophe. And you know what? I'll throw this out there. I don't see it happening. But if you want to play the Aaron Boone gets fired game, because I said last year, if the Yankees had lost to the Red Sox in the wild card round, I thought Aaron Boone, it was the best chance of Aaron Boone getting fired of any point in his Yankee career. Now, we haven't heard from Hal in the sense like we heard from James Dolan with the Knicks, but I felt like if Mike Brown got knocked out in the first round and the Knicks got knocked out in the first round, that Mike Brown would have gotten fired. I know it's only year one, but I think with the expectations, you get rid of Tibbs. If the Knicks had lost to the Hawks or whoever they ended up, you know, we're saying this throughout the year, but when they were down 2-1 to the Hawks, if the Knicks had lost to Atlanta, Mike Brown would have been out of here. Maybe even if they lost in the second round. Maybe even if they lost in the Eastern Conference Finals. Maybe even if they lost in the finals. That's how I think much pressure was on that plate of Mike Brown. Now with Boone, the Yankees were just in the World Series a couple years ago. I think they should have the same mentality as the Knicks. Hey, if we don't get to the World Series, or in the case of the Knicks, the finals, the year is a complete and utter failure, which I understand you could say for most years with the Yankees, but especially this year when you look at the landscape and the fact that they thought it was a good idea to run it back. You know, the run it back is almost the equivalent of firing Tibbs. When you fire Tibbs, you put that pressure on of, hey, we let go of this coach that a lot of people liked, a lot of people, and it's because it's true, felt like Tibbs turned the program around, went from LOL Knicks to where the Knicks were a team in the playoffs year in and year out. And then you do the unpopular thing and get rid of him. And then you hire Mike Brown, which was an unpopular decision. So the Knicks went into the year. Yes, the expectations were high. Yes, it was finals or bust. But there was still, I'm sure, a big part of the fan base and of the media, whether it's national, local, that were ready to pounce if this blew up in James Dolan, Leon Rose, and the Knicks' faces. Shouldn't have got rid of Tibbs. You know all the lines that were coming out. Everybody was ready to do that. And it never happened because Mike Brown, or you never got the true opportunity to do it because the only slip-ups that Mike Brown had were at points in the regular season. But sometimes you just chalk that up to it's a long year. And through the first three games of the initial round against Atlanta, the initial round of the playoffs, first round. But I think it's kind of the same thing, running it back. You know, there's a lot of, I think, more added pressure on the Yankees. Now, they'll add at the deadline, but still, the idea of bringing everybody back and running it back, a team that didn't get to the World Series last year, didn't win a championship. Even with all that said, I think Boone keeps his job even if they don't win the World Series or they don't get to the World Series. And I just think they are. So I'm trying to paint this scenario where they don't get there. But right now, I mean, the Mariners are just, they cannot get going. They're 500. The Rangers are in first place, and they suck. The White Sox aren't ready yet. Cleveland, please. Minnesota's still lurking around. They could win the division, which is basically a bye for the Yankees. Tampa is the team, especially if they have home field. Tampa's the team. Because the Trop is just, could be a house of horrors for the Yankees. It has been in the past. But outside of that, I don't see it. I don't. Now, that's halfway through the year. Things could change in the second half. You know, the Blue Jays certainly turned it into another, or kicked it into another gear last year where they became serious contenders. So right now, if I had to pick a team, it would be Tampa. But I don't think that's a team that, they can give you problems, but I don't think it's a team that's keeping you up at night. The Yankees' biggest obstacle is the Yankees. And I think that they will, because remember, they're undermanned right now. No Grisham, no Stanton. I probably should have started with Judge and Fried, but whatever. That was not in order of their importance, obviously. No Judge, no Fried, no Grisham. No Stanton. Again, Stanton probably should have had Grisham, but really with Stanton, I mean, you don't miss Stanton that much because of Paul Goldschmidt. And again tonight, Paul Goldschmidt. Off a lefty. This guy is unbelievable. It's literally automatic against lefties. Automatic. Now, he's a great player. I think he's a borderline Hall of Famer, but he's not in the prime of his career. For Paul Goldschmidt to be doing what he's doing against lefties this year is truly otherworldly. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. If you are on hold right now, we will get to you. We've got four more hours, but I'll get to you quickly. And I know you've been waiting. I don't want you to wait any longer. So we'll get to you real quick. We'll also get into the Mets. That'll be later on in the show. That was going to be the real chunk of the show here, but then the Yankees had the weekend they had. But don't worry, we're going to do plenty of Mets. Obviously, with the firing of Carlos Mendoza that took place on Friday, and then the idea of who will the manager be next. Steve Cohen is expected to meet the media or do some type of media, some type of message to Met fans coming up soon. That's at least his words coming from Twitter on Sunday. So we'll get into a lot of things Mets throughout the show tonight. This Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. At some point, this Austin Wells situation has to just be put to bed. I mean, he's horrible. The Yankees have to be in the market for an offensive catcher, somebody that can help them out. I mean, Austin Wells, we're sitting here, it's almost July, he's got 10 RBIs. He's the starting catcher for the Yankees in a hitter's park, in a lineup that scores a million runs. He has 10 RBIs and batting 157. The worst catcher offensively in all of baseball in terms of stats this year and just production when you consider everything is Austin Wells. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. If you are on hold, we will get to you. If you want to join the conversation right now, if you want to line up with the Mets, like I said, we will introduce them into the conversation coming up. So hop on aboard now. 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.